As the United States continues to struggle with its economic crisis, South Africa is in the midst of a political one. South African President Thabo Mbeki told his nation today that he is stepping down.
Today, I handed a letter to the Speaker of the National Assembly to tender my resignation from the high position of President of the Republic of South Africa.
Almost a decade ago, Mbeki succeeded Nelson Mandela, the nation's first black president. During Mbeki's two terms, South Africa has seen soaring economic growth, but it also has a sky-high unemployment rate and a widening gap between rich and poor. Mbeki's resignation comes after months of struggle with his own party, the African National Congress, and a long feud with party leader Jacob Zuma. To talk about the legacy of South Africa's leader, we're joined from Johannesburg by Mark Gewisser. He wrote the book Thabo Mbeki, The Dream Deferred. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
So first, quickly, what's led to Mbeki's resignation today?
It's a long story that has its roots in a rivalry between Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, who were originally great allies, but who fell out when Zuma was Mbeki's deputy. As a consequence of that fallout, there have been suits and countersuits, and there was a ruling about 10 days ago that the charges against Jacob Zuma for corruption, which had been brought to, by the National Prosecuting Authority, were to be withdrawn because there had been political meddling on the part of Thabo Mbeki. And on that basis, the party decided to fire Thabo Mbeki.
Take us back, though. I mean, Thabo Mbeki had the almost impossible task of following a living legend in political office, Nelson Mandela.
That's correct. You mentioned that Mbeki has been in power for a decade. In fact, it's longer, because when Mandela came into power in 1994, he appointed Mbeki as his deputy president. And almost from day one, Mandela took the job of the sort of big picture stuff. And the person responsible for actually running the country was Thabo Mbeki. So in effect, he's been the leader of South Africa for 15 years. And one of the calculations Mbeki made was that because he'd never be able to be loved and adulated the way Mandela was, he shouldn't even try. And he should rather earn respect, perhaps by getting people to fear him. He wielded power in a way that alienated many people, and the coalition that has unseated him is known by themselves as a coalition of the wounded.
And over these years, he's done things that have drawn strong criticism from his opponents. He made comments about AIDS, denying that it spread through sexual contact, the way he approached President Robert Mugabe's rule in Zimbabwe.
Well, you've hit on, I think, the two most troublesome things in his legacy. With AIDS, it wasn't just that he made comments, but that his belief that HIV might not be the cause of AIDS led to a stalling of the rollout of antiretroviral medication in South Africa that resulted in the deaths of many people. So there are some who say that Mbeki has blood on his hands. Interestingly enough, though, those struggles over Zimbabwe and AIDS are not the reasons why he's fallen out with members of his own party.
So what does this mean now for the government of South Africa?
Well, the ANC is going to great pains to ensure that there will be stability. They have said that they do not want any of Mbeki's cabinet to resign, and there will be an election called probably next April or May, which will be contested by Jacob Zuma, and he will become the South African president. And there's no doubt that he will win that election. The ANC has a more than two-thirds majority.
Mark Gewisser in Johannesburg. The American edition of his book will be out in the spring. It's called Legacy of Liberation. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.